Hey everyone, happy December 5th. Happy December 5th. Cheryl, it was great listening to you. See how perfect this is that you get to go right before me? I will be able to show up much more frequently and hear you teach than I've been able to in the past with a different time slot. So I really enjoyed listening to you. I got here about 4:30, so I got to hear half an hour, and that was a lot of fun. And I heard you say that much of NTI is over your head. I don't think it's going to be for long, based on what I'm hearing. I think Holy Spirit is guiding you through NTI in somewhat of a non-conventional way. You're not going from the beginning to the end. But I think that I think it's not going to be over your head for long. I think that it sounds like it's really speaking to you. And in fact, when you got to the part about the doll, I thought, wait a minute, Holy Spirit wrote that part for Cheryl, not me. Because I knew before you said it, you were going to talk about Chatty Cathy. I saw the direct link there between the doll and your Chatty Cathy thought example. But hey, everyone, now we are going to put NTI aside. And this is Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time that I have dedicated to reading the messages, the informal messages that were given to me to be helpful to me, that are posted on reginadonacres.com. And right now we are in September of 2011, and we are looking at the messages that were given to Laurent and me when we were joined together as a couple. Last week I read one message that was given to us on September 11th, basically at this point in the story of Regina and Laurent. Laurent and I had been together for about 3 weeks, and if you've been following the story, you know that the first 3 weeks were extremely difficult because, well, we hated each other. There was just a lot of hate, and it was very difficult. And what happened after 3 weeks, the way Laurent worded it last week, is he thought it was time for a break. And he decided to fly out to California to visit his cousin who lived there. The night before he left for California, he and I were talking. And although we'd only been together 3 weeks, it's so funny how hard you can be on yourself when you're listening to ego. Although we'd only been together 3 weeks, at this point, we were really feeling like failures, we knew the purpose of our relationship. There was no doubt Laurent and I were not drawn together the way that most couples come together. Most couples come together because of some kind of romantic attraction, and we didn't have that. There was an attraction, but the attraction was much more what I would call spirit guided. It really was a spirit guided attraction. And in fact, Laurent and I both had the feeling that I would imagine a couple might have when they are in an arranged marriage, where somebody else picks the two of them out and puts them together, and they really had nothing to do with it. That's sort of how it felt with me and him. And so we came together. We lived together is what we did. Bye, Cheryl, I love you. We lived together, and the first 3 weeks were really tough. But because we knew the purpose of our relationship was healing, and because we also came together and then we found this really difficult relationship, we felt like failures. We felt like we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing together. So, as I mentioned, Laurent decided to go to California for a week, take a break from this intense relationship. And the morning that he was getting ready to leave, I got up and I was reflecting on our conversation the night before and how we both felt like failures. And I think what happened to me for probably the first time is the love that really was always there. My love for Laurent came out, and I wanted to give him something. I wanted to give him something that would be truly helpful. So I asked Spirit for a message for Laurent that he could take with him to California that would be truly helpful. And that's when the power of light message came, which is the message we went over last week. When Laurent got up that morning, I was able to go over the message with him, give him a copy of the message, and then I drove him to the airport. When I came back from the airport, I felt guided to sit down with my notebook again, and a second message came. This message was for me. So Holy Spirit gave each of us a message that would help us during this week apart, so that when we came back together, we would have a new foundation to start again, I will say. And although the relationship continued to be difficult in a lot of ways, to be honest, it never was as difficult as the first 3 weeks. Those first 3 weeks were the toughest period of time. So these two messages and our willingness to take in what these messages said and practice what these messages said really did start to create a shift, create a change. So tonight we're going to go over that second message then that came on September 11th, and it is called The Flow. Yeah, The Flow, and it is about the killed. What I'm going to do is give you a link to the copy of the message. Let's see, 36 people in the room. I try to keep my eye on that, but once I get teaching, I'm not very good at it. But I like to try and re-give the link as more people join. But if anybody else wants to copy the link in case you notice the number is going up and I didn't pay attention, feel free to post the link for new people when they come into the room. What I would like to do is start with a prayer. So if you all would join me, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I am grateful and excited to look at this message of the flow again. I remember this message and one other that is yet to come, the code, as life-changing messages for me. What they did for me is they helped me to understand how to practice forgiveness at a level of detail that I did not understand before. And once I really saw how to do it and why to do it, I became much better at it. These were fine-tuning messages for me, extremely helpful. I am very grateful to have received these messages. I am very grateful to have been able to practice in the way these messages taught me to practice. And I'm very grateful to look at them again now and to share them with my friends who may find them as helpful as I did. Thank you so very much for your gifts, your guidance. Amen. All right. So we're going to look at the message of the flow. If you clicked on the link that I gave you, then what you need to do is scroll down, because two messages were received that day. So the first message is the power of light. And if you scroll down underneath the power of light, you will come to message two, the flow. And that's the message I'm going to read. Okay, you're fine. Do you need a copy of the message? I didn't think so. I have one if you do. If she comes back and wants a copy, let me know and I'll give her one. Okay? All right, Lisa Trevino is here. She drove all night from Las Vegas to get here, and as far as I can tell, she just got up, and I think she probably went upstairs to get something to eat, because since she drove all night, she slept all day. Oh, and Thummy is listening. That's good. I saw the picture of Thummy, and I loved how the star on the inner Ramana cover was reflecting onto Thummy's fur, it looked like. It was a beautiful picture, Melissa. All right. Message two, the flow. Now, this starts off right away talking about the killed and the killer. So just in case all of you don't know what those terms represent, I mentioned that when Laurent and I came together, our first experience was hate. The first appearance. The first appearance of that was that he was the attacker. Not that he ever attacked me. I don't want to give any misimpressions, because the truth is, Laurent is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Reserved is the word that's coming to my mind. He can have, or at least then, he could have a lot of hate, a lot of anger towards me, and not act on that in any way whatsoever, not even a mean word. So when I say that he was the attacker, I am not speaking in form. He in no way ever attacked me. I don't even remember so much as an insult intending to hurt, and that's the truth. Okay? So we're not talking about form at all. We are talking about thoughts. You know, A Course in Miracles talks about when you think an angry thought that you are actually murdering, right? So this is what I'm talking about when I say it appeared that he was the attacker. It appeared that his thoughts towards me were about how unworthy I was, about how, ugly I was, about how I was not good enough. All of these types of thoughts. He was the killer. I was the killed, and the reason I was the killed is because I agreed with those judgments. So I accepted those judgments as if he was hitting me and I was accepting the punches. So the killed and the killer. These were the roles that we played in the initial 3 weeks. So here we go. Let's look at this message now that I've defined these beautiful terms. All right? The killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. Okay, so I was the killed and Laurent was the killer. The killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. The killer is judgment. Now this is not a small little sentence. It looks like a small little sentence. The killer is judgment. But you have to remember that the thought in my mind and Laurent's mind, we were actually joined in this, the thought in my mind and his mind was that he was the killer. Okay, if you were here last week, you know that Laurent said he believed at this point that he was hate. That's how consumed he was with these hate thoughts, and he believed he was hate. That's the essence of what he was. All right, so he and I both thought of him as the killer. And notice Holy Spirit is not saying that Laurent is the killer. Holy Spirit is saying judgment is the killer. Now this totally impersonalizes things, first of all. But secondly, this shows that the killer would not only be in him, in his mind, but also in me, in my mind. And of course, probably in everyone here, in all of our minds. The killer, right, is judgment. It's not any particular person. We can't ever point the finger at any person and say, there is the killer. The killer is judgment, and we all share that. So again, the killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. The killer is judgment. Belief in judgment is belief in a mirage. For judgment only sees what isn't and judges it as true and unworthy. Even when judgment judges as beautiful, it chooses the perception of unworthy. For beautiful and unworthy are two sides of the same idea of judgment. This is the idea of duality and choose between. The idea of choose between is an exciting experience created out of illusion, for in reality, there is nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. Now again, this first paragraph is very important if you look at my state of mind at the time. My state of mind at the time. Laurent thought I was ugly, and I agreed. Laurent thought I was unworthy, and I agreed. Laurent thought I was somehow low, and I agreed. Now, what's really important to hear in this, not only I agreed, but there's something before that that needs to be heard that wasn't said. If I agreed, then could the judgment have been in his mind alone? And the answer is no. In order for me to agree, the judgment had to be in my mind. So we saw him as the killer, but in truth, that same killer lived in my mind and was guiding me to play out the role of killed. And what's really important, of course, since there was this thought that we had that I was ugly, I also had a wish that I could be beautiful. And in fact, there was a typical kind of a woman, you know, a specific body look and all of that, that Laurent thought was beautiful. And, you know, when we would see it in movies or whatever, he would point it out to me, and I would wish that I looked like that, because then I could be worthy, right? Then I could be loved. And so this is why it's important that Spirit points out that if you choose beautiful, you're still choosing the perception of unworthy. In other words, if I could take a magic wand and remake myself into well, what stands out for me is the lady in the red dress in The Matrix. It's one of the women that he liked. If I could make myself the lady in the red dress in The Matrix, I would not really be letting go of unworthy. Because if you choose one side of a judgment, the other side of the judgment goes with it. It's like you're choosing the entire coin, right? It has two sides. And of course, if you've ever talked to anyone who the world agrees is beautiful, right? If you ever talk to anyone who the world agrees is beautiful, and really get to know them, you will find that they have great fears often about losing their beauty, or they even have trouble understanding why the world thinks they're beautiful, right? The unworthiness is there too. It's there too. So what Spirit is saying is the entire idea of beauty and ugly, worthy and unworthy, these entire ideas need to be let go. And what Spirit is calling them is the idea of choose between, right? The options. The entire, he calls them an exciting experience. Created out of illusion. Of course, what they would be exciting to is the ego. But what he really wants to point out to us is that we do have a desire, a draw, an attraction to having options and choosing between. We like judgment. All right? And he wants to see this because he wants us to see this because we don't want to be in denial about anything. So we want to recognize our attraction to choose between, and we also want to look honestly at the effects of this attraction so that we can change our mind, so that we can release our attraction, so that through our freedom we can become unattracted to choose again and much more interested in what he calls the flow, which doesn't really offer choices. And when I say it doesn't really offer choices, some of you may have felt something within that even a thought of that doesn't sound fun, to have no choices. That doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound interesting. And if you had that thought or that feeling at all, then you understand what Spirit is saying when he says the idea of choose between is an exciting experience created out of illusion. You can see that we are indeed attracted to that idea. All right, so let me read the first paragraph again, and then I will move right into the second paragraph of the message. Okay, it looks like we have exactly 36 people still in the room, so we're doing fine here. All right, so here we go. The killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. Remember, we discovered here, up until now, the killer was Laurent. Now we've discovered the killer is judgment, and the killer is in my mind too. I could not play the role of killed if I did not have the judgment of myself in my mind, right? It would be impossible to play the role of killed if I did not have the judgment of myself in my mind. So the killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. The killer is judgment. Belief in judgment is belief in a mirage, for judgment only sees what isn't and judges it as true and unworthy. Even when judgment judges as beautiful, it chooses the perception of unworthy, for beautiful and unworthy are two sides of the same idea of judgment. This is the idea of duality and choose between. The idea of choose between is an exciting experience created out of illusion, for in reality, there is nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. The way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow, to feel only the flow, and to desire to be only the flow. In desiring to be only the flow, you let go of the idea of being independent. You let go of the idea of choose between, and you choose to only be. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. In choosing to teach this without judgment or duality, you choose to teach you what you truly are, not apart from your brothers, but in conjunction with them. This is a celebration of truth and joining that outlasts any idea that says something different can exist to choose between. You know, this paragraph written out, you know, fully could literally be an entire book that we buy on Amazon.com. It's amazing how concise this paragraph is with all of the teaching that is in it. So let's go back and look at this paragraph. First of all, we've already said that I could not have played the role of killed if the killer was not in my mind. And I know this for a fact now, because one thing that happened in my relationship with Laurent, not at this point, but later in the story, one thing that happened in my relationship with Laurent is I learned to let go of a lot of judgment. Not all judgment, but a lot of judgment. I learned to let go of a lot of judgment. I learned to see it as absolutely meaningless. And when I came to see judgment as meaningless, what could happen is that Laurent could slip back into his judgment, right? His hate. And it no longer had any effect on me. And in fact, what began to happen when Laurent would have these times when he would slip back into the judgment, and they became, you know, shorter periods of time, but when he would slip back into the judgment and back into the hate, what happened in me after this was healed in me was that I was only there for him in a compassionate and loving and partnership way. And I was able to deliver more messages from Spirit to him, both written and through speaking. I was able to support him in any way he needed support. I was in no way offended, which made me completely available. I was no longer the killed. The killed had died because the judgment in my mind that allowed me to play the role had died. Now, this is very important because I know that a lot of people that are going to hear this, I know that many of you still feel like the killed. Maybe there's someone in your life, it could be a boss, that's always telling you, you know, in some way, how unworthy you are as an employee. It could be a partner. It can even be your children. I know people who feel put down by their children. What you have to understand is it's not what they are saying that is hurting you. And I am speaking from experience, not from, you know, reading a book and intellectually spitting this out. I do know this. What they are saying is not hurting you. It's your agreement with it. It's the judgment of yourself in your own mind. When what they say passes through that, the judgment in your own mind, it hurts. And if you will allow the judgment in your own mind to be healed, honestly, they don't have to change at all. They may, actually, because you might start acting different as a result of not having the judgment there. Whenever you heal, there's literally an outward change. So they may actually also change what they're saying. But they may not. Like I said, Laurent would slip back into the hate and the judgment. So if they do not change, it's okay. Because you have healed and you will be able to hear them differently than you did before. You will be able to be there for them, support them. So if you feel like the victim, if you feel like the killed, please realize the only thing that's killing you is your own judgment of yourself. So, the way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow. Now, the flow is something that we would call following Holy Spirit's guidance. Or something we might call surrender. Or something we might call following inner promptings. The flow, if you're in the flow, you're not thinking about and making decisions the way you did before. The first thing you're doing is you're accepting whatever is. Whatever's in front of you. Whatever decision needs to be made, you're in acceptance that there's a decision that's going to need to be made. You're not resistant to the idea that a decision needs to be made. You're in acceptance of everything. That's step one about being in the flow. Step two is that the way you make decisions when a decision needs to be made is by learning to pause and ask within. And when you ask within, whatever thought, idea, or intuition comes to you, you then just go with it without any questioning or thinking. You see, if you ask within, what am I to do now? And the prompt comes, go do dishes. And then you stop and think about that. Well, is that really the best thing right now? Or some people say, would Holy Spirit guide me to go do dishes? As soon as you start thinking about it, you jumped back into choose between, like there was an option there. And the moment you jumped back into choose between, you jumped out of the flow. So the flow is about trusting and accepting and trusting and accepting. And at first, if you aren't used to living in the flow, it takes a bit of practice. It's conscious work. And Barb is asking, what was number one again? Number one is accepting whatever situation is. Whatever is now in your life, in your presence, you accept it. You accept it. Okay. And then number two is always asking within, so that you aren't really making decisions. You're just following what you feel an inner prompting, an inner intuition to do. You're accepting and following. You have given up decision making. And so when you do this, then you are not in the choose between space. You're in the flow. Now the choose between space, although it's exciting, what the choose between space does is it requires you to use judgment. It literally requires you to use some kind of thinking process to decide for one option and against another option, which means you're constantly, in one form or another, grabbing off the shelf that unworthy coin again, right? Good and bad. You're holding to that. And you cannot hold to that without experiencing the effects of that. This is literally where suffering comes from. So although choose between, the idea of being able to make choices is exciting, it's the cause of your suffering. So we really want to learn to be in the flow. We want to let go of unworthy. I don't want to choose between Pepsi and 7-Up. Because when I make a conscious decision between Pepsi and 7-Up, I'm really choosing that one is worthy and one is not. I'm holding on to that idea in me. And it's going to cause suffering. The idea itself causes suffering. So instead, it's much better if there's a Pepsi, if somebody holds out a Pepsi and a 7-Up, and they say, which one do you want? It's best just to ask within or just feel. Sometimes I can feel like what I would call an energetic attraction. You know, just like an attraction. Ooh, I'll take the 7-Up. But there wasn't a thinking. I love to practice that with a menu, too. I love to read a menu. Something will pop out, kind of pops out, and I just order it. I don't think. I just order. This popped out. I'll take this. And you become very, very skilled at the flow after a time to where it becomes pretty easy. But in the beginning, it does take conscious practice because you're changing your habits. But what you're doing when you choose the flow and you choose to stop making decisions is you're letting go of that constant reinforcement of the decision that unworthiness exists. Red pen. Actually, for me, the choice would be blue pen or black pen. Do you realize I have always thought blue ink was more worthy than black ink? I always have. All my life, when I have gone out and made a conscious decision-making choice about the pens to buy, I've bought blue ink. It's more worthy. That's ridiculous, I know, but do you see how that maintains the idea of worthy and unworthy in my head? All right, so instead, I want to go with the flow. I want to go to Staples, to the section where the pens are, and just ask within, which pens do I buy? My eyes land on some pens right after I ask, oh, I'll take those. Boom. And I'm letting go of the judgment. If I let go of the judgment, if the judgment is no longer in my mind, I'm no longer judging anything as worthy or unworthy, then I cannot play the role of killed, because I had to have judgment in my mind as a filter in order to play that role. So the way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow. It's one little phrase, not even a full sentence there, but do you see how powerful that is and how important that is? The way, here's how, the way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow, to feel only the flow, and to desire to be only the flow. In desiring to be only the flow, you let go of the idea of being independent. Now that's as true a statement as a statement can be that's written down into words. If somebody offers me a choice, they hold out before me a Pepsi and a 7-Up, and I think about whatever it is I think about when I'm making that decision, what I'm really fully believing in that moment is that I'm an independent individual and I can choose a Pepsi or a 7-Up, whatever I want. That belief is so firm in my mind and even that simple of a decision that I don't think I could put enough exclamation points after it to indicate how much we're teaching ourselves we're an individual when we make decisions, even simple little decisions like that. Of course, in teaching ourselves that we're an individual, we are also teaching ourselves that we are separate from God and all that is. So if I desire to be only in the flow, if that is my desire, and when somebody offers me a Pepsi or a 7-Up, instead of thinking, I just feel, and I feel some kind of an attraction towards the 7-Up or the Pepsi, it doesn't matter, and I just take that, what I'm really becoming more aware of is some kind of an energy of movement within me that is guiding me. I don't know exactly where this energy comes from, and I don't know exactly where it goes when it moves through me, but I begin to feel it. It's guiding me in my choices, and I begin to feel a part of it, and the idea of individual begins to fade. You know, Jesus said that of himself he could do nothing, right? It was the Father within him that does everything. Father is another great word for flow. Of myself, I do nothing. It is the flow within me, right? I'm a part of this flow. Something in the universe moved me to take a 7-Up this time. On another day, something in the universe moved me to take the Pepsi. And since I'm in acceptance of all things, I accepted the 7-Up on one day and the Pepsi on another day, and I was equally happy. And I don't know what moved me. I don't know why I took the 7-Up or the Pepsi. All I know is that I'm a part of everything and that I'm being moved. You know, you hear a lot of Eastern teachers talking about letting go of the idea of being the doer. This is really the same concept. It's that decision-making mind that keeps you thinking you're independent. Just let that go. Start following another way of making decisions, asking within, feeling an attraction. Maybe even you notice when the person holds out the Pepsi and the 7-Up that they're actually holding the Pepsi a little closer to you. And so you reach for that one, right? The universe seemed to have offered the Pepsi by the position of the hand. The way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow, to feel only the flow, and to desire to be only the flow. In desiring to be only the flow, you let go of the idea of being independent. You let go of the idea of choose between. Now listen to this part. And you choose only to be. Can you see that? Can you feel that? Do you realize how when you're making decisions, right, you think you're a person, right? I mean, you really do. But do you see how when you give up making decisions and you just allow somehow the flow to guide you, how you are just being? I mean, you may still physically be doing things, right? You may be moving from one task to another task to another task as the flow is guiding you around. Other people might not look at you and think you're only being because they see you as a very busy person. But because your mind is not operating in the way your mind used to be, because you're not making decisions like you used to, because you're being moved by the flow, your experience is just being. You're being in the flow. You're being moved. Right? I've heard the statement, life is living through me. That's another way I've heard people express it. And I'm not living life. Life is living through me. Being. So you let go of the idea of choose between, and you choose only to be. Now, listen to this next sentence. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. Remember I said that if somebody offers me a Pepsi and a 7-Up, and I feel, oh, the Pepsi, I feel it, and I don't know why, that's just what I felt. This is literally saying that for some reason, that choice came from my brothers. I'll never know, I don't have to understand this. It came from my brothers, and when I accepted that, I then let the energy of the flow move on back to them. It's like a constant movement of invisible, unheard communication between us. So choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. Now listen to this next sentence. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. My brother may not be conscious, or whatever brothers there are in the universe that were a part of the choice for Pepsi, may not be conscious that they were a part of that choice. But they were. And when I take the Pepsi, I am also not rejecting the flow or my brothers. When I allow the universe to move me, I am telling every aspect of the universe, you are perfect as you are. It's an unconscious message, but it's heard. Because when the universe is moving me and I'm in acceptance of that and I allow myself to be moved, I'm not judging it as unworthy. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. Since receiving this message, there's something that I've noticed that I continue to notice. I always notice it. It's never left me noticing this. I've noticed that I change naturally, not consciously, not like I have to be this way for this person and this way for this person, but I naturally change in the presence of different people. Not to be fake, it's the flow. When I'm alone with Danielle, for example, the exact person that I am, I'm only that person when I'm alone with Danielle. When you add Jasmine to the mix, I'm a slightly different person. Take Danielle away and I'm just with Jasmine, I'm a different person again. With Ron, I'm one. With Laurent, I'm another. And that's not anything I'm making happen. But I've observed it. Also, because I see Jasmine a lot, I notice how Jasmine is when she's around Ron. I notice how Jasmine is when she's around Danielle. I notice how Jasmine is with her friends. She changes. And that's natural. That's natural. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. If I allow myself to be the Regina that I am with Ron, when I'm with Ron, and I don't fight it or try to change it or say I shouldn't be this way, right? I just be it, just be it. I'm somehow telling Ron that his creation is beautiful. And when you combine Ron and Danielle and Jasmine and Regina is somehow a little different, and I just be that, I'm telling the three of them that their creation is beautiful. By not fighting what feels natural, by not rejecting what feels natural, by not judging what feels natural, I'm not fighting, rejecting, or judging them. And I do, like I said, continue to notice that I am different. It's I would say, more obvious to me than it ever has been. It becomes more and more obvious how this personality shifts in the flow. I've noticed with some people, it's kind of funny, I have noticed with only a couple of people, but actually, usually I'm pretty gentle, I think. But I've noticed there's a couple of people that when I'm around them, a strong sternness comes out. And sometimes after I hang up the phone from being with them, I just giggle. Wow, look how stern I was. But it seems very natural with these people that I get very stern. Very stern. And if I was to judge that sternness as bad, somehow I'm judging and rejecting the flow, which includes them, because I'm not doing it, I would say, on purpose. Right? So I allow myself to be whatever is natural. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. In choosing to teach this without judgment or duality, you choose to teach you what you truly are, not apart from your brothers, but in conjunction with them. If I can be naturally, without effort, one personality with Ron, one personality with Jasmine, one personality with Lisa Hansen, one personality with Teddy Poppy, one personality with Danielle, right? Then is there really a personality that you can pin down and call me? The answer is no. The answer is no. You cannot say this is Regina, because it shifts and changes. Okay, I'm going to let go of the mic for a second because I see that Melissa has her hand up. Melissa, here you go. Okay, Melissa does not have her mic. She wants me to read what she has written. She says, I sometimes have a feeling that some people are calling to be treated in a certain way, and this has an effect on how I am with them. I don't know where my will ends and theirs begins with that. I don't want to treat someone badly or rudely, but do some people call to be treated that way? Well, I'll tell you the answer to that question, at least from a self-practice. Because I think self-practice, it's not as important to me what they're asking for, I guess, as it is what I'm doing within my own mind. So what I really want to pay attention to is that I am not judging. I really want to make sure, I don't want to call being pissed off at someone for what they said. I don't want to say that that is okay, because if I do that, I'm really listening to ego, and I don't want to listen to ego. So when I say it's not okay, I don't mean like in a I did something bad way, but it's just against my purpose. So if I notice myself getting pissed off at someone, truly angry, I step back and watch my mind. When I say that there are a couple people that my personality gets firmer with, I mean with no loss of peace. I mean the peace in me is consistent. And in fact, that takes me back to what I was about to say. If the personality can shift and change, then the personality is not real, right? So the next question becomes, what is real? Well, if I am truly in the flow, if I am truly in acceptance and being moved, not making decisions, not judging, just being, what's consistent is that peace, that life in me. Although the personality may shift and change, right? That life in me is the same. It did not change as the personality changed. So what begins to happen is we begin to get clarity within ourselves on what I am and what I am not. I am not a specific personality, because my personality, the more I let go of judgment, right? The more I let go of judgment and step back into the flow, the more obvious it comes to me how the personality changes in different circumstances. Therefore, I cannot be the personality. That has to be just a part of the effect of what's happening in the totality of the flow, right? It's a part of the mirage. It's not me. It's not me. But again, when I talk about there are some people that I'm firmer with, like they do bring out a firmness in me, I wanna be clear, I'm not talking about I get pissed off at them. If I get pissed off at anyone, it's time for me to step back and look at my mind because there is judgment going on. But yeah, there are some people who seem to bring out a firmness. They might interpret it that way. Yeah, Melissa's asking, might they interpret as pissed off? Yes, they might interpret it that way. Yeah, but my job is to watch me. My job is to watch me. Okay, so let's go back to the message. Let's see, starting in about the middle of the paragraph, choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers because the flow that you are comes from them through you and is returned to them. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. In choosing to teach this without judgment or duality, you choose to teach you what you truly are, not apart from your brothers, but in conjunction with them. And that's what I just talked about. You start realizing you are not the personality. You start honing on what you are that's always there in every situation, even as the personality shifts and changes. This is a celebration of truth and joining that outlasts any idea that says something different can exist to choose between. Now, what's important about this last sentence is he says, as you start to realize who you are, he says, this is a celebration of truth and joining that outlasts any idea. Remember above, he told us that we see choose between as exciting. And some of you may have even experienced that when I talked about giving up choices. You may have experienced some sadness or some sense of sacrifice or some sense of that's no fun. Okay, that's the ego's perception that judgment is exciting. If we will take this leap and do our best to move away from judgment and into the flow, what we find is that the flow is much more satisfying in every way. I mean, I can't even begin to describe it. What comes to us is more satisfying, it seems. The way we feel all of the time, the peaceful. Making decisions is such a burden. We don't know it when we do it all of the time. I used to be a great decision maker. I was very good at weighing criteria and making decisions, and I had no idea that that was a burden. But since I've let it go, when I accidentally return to that, I notice my head. It starts to hurt, not like a headache, like a pressure in my head. Yeah, Barb has written the heavy weight of judgment. I feel it now. I didn't used to notice it, but I feel it now. The lightness of the flow, the joy of the flow is much, much better than the, quote, excitement of choose between. In fact, even that is an illusion. It's not an excitement. It's the cause of all suffering. And that's hard to believe when you're in it and it's the only way of life that you know. But as you trust spirit and you follow spirit's guidance and you move away from choose between into the flow, from your own experience, you learn that the choose between is what was hurting you. The judgment, even the judgment between Pepsi and 7-Up in the thinking mind way, was hurting you. So the last paragraph, be the love by being what you are as you are now. Right now, Regina. Now this was very important to me because at that time, remember, I had this feeling that I was all wrong. I had the wrong personality the wrong body, the wrong preferences. Remember, when Laurent and I came together, Laurent and I had nothing in common except our desire to awaken. What we ate, how we ate, when we ate, when we slept, you know, the way we drank water was so incredibly different that I won't even go into that story because it's ridiculous. It was incredibly different, trust me on that, the way we drank water. And somehow, what happened in the first 3 weeks, through both my judgment and Laurent's, although we did not look at that as that way, we looked at it as his judgment, right? But what this message has just taught me is the judgment had to have been in my mind too, or I couldn't have been hurt, okay? What happened in the first 3 weeks is the idea became he was better and I was less than. All of my habits, all of my preferences, everything about my personality, everything about my body, all not good enough. This is the idea of the killed. Now listen to this sentence. Be the love by being what you are as you are now. I don't need to become the lady in the red dress in the movie Matrix. I don't need to become some French person. In fact, if I even attempt to do that, I'm actually judging the flow as unworthy. That's judging all of my brothers as unworthy. That's judging our totality as unworthy. That's judging God as unworthy. Because all of that is what made however I am being right now. I didn't make Regina. We made Regina in whatever way Regina is being right now. So I'm loving the totality, the wholeness and all of its parts, by just being as I am. I don't need to become the lady in the red dress in the Matrix. Be the love by being what you are, as you are, now. Allow it. Love it. See it as a gift from your brothers. In accepting this gift, you accept the truth of you, which is that we are a totality, right? In accepting this gift, you accept the truth of you. In accepting you, you accept them as one with you. Yeah, we are perfect now, Heidi is writing, with 3 exclamation points. And that's true of each and every one of us. And if we seem to shift and change from circumstance to circumstance, or, you know, being with one person to being with another, that's natural. It's nothing to judge. You know, one big thought that's in our ego mind is that I am a fake, right? That's a big thought. I am a fake. And lots of people will literally watch how their personality changes, how they're one way with their mom and another way with their boss and another way with their spouse and another way with their friend. And they'll point at that and say, proof, I'm a fake. I'm different with my mom than I am with my husband. I'm here to tell you, no, you're different with your mom than you are with your husband, because that's the flow. You're not the personality. The personality shifts and changes. That is not what is consistent. Now, go within and find what's consistent. It has nothing to do with the personality. It is formless. It is life. It is living. It is now. And regardless of what your personality is doing, that's the same. This is what we're after. That's our truth. Okay, I love you guys, and my time is up, and I have to pee. So, we'll see you later. Bye.